woodpecker with a weasel on its back. A man that's last name DeMay, he decided to go out and take some pictures. And he decided to take his wife with him. Actually, he was going to try to find the green woodpecker in London. It was a beautiful day like it is today. And the next thing you know, he heard, according to the count, some squawking and squealing. That's a sick woodpecker, all right, with post-nasal drip. Anyway, but he found, as he was looking, a woodpecker, a green woodpecker, and he looked and he thought it looked like something was on his back, but he couldn't tell. And the woodpecker was on the ground, and he flew up in the air, and he landed about just a few yards in front of him. He got his camera out, and he said at that moment, that weasel was distracted when he got his camera out, and all of a sudden, the woodpecker flew off, and the weasel was standing in the tall grass. How many know the weasel was out for a lunch, all right? He wasn't just taking a ride on that woodpecker. Rather, he was wanting to eat that woodpecker. Hey, I got to thinking about this. Sometimes we feel like a weasel is on our back. Is there anybody here that felt like all week long a weasel has been on your back? Now, y'all can come today and act like you don't have any weasels on your back, and you can come today and act like everything's okay, or you can get honest with the Lord and say, Lord, I've got a weasel on my back, and I want to get that weasel off of my back. That's what I want to preach today on this subject. God put it in my heart, getting the weasel off your back. And you know what? Speaking of a weasel being on your back, I got a text message from a dear Christian friend, a man, this week who you would perhaps know if I called his name. He's not a member of the church. Here's what he said. He said, Pastor, please pray for me. I'm feeling like I'm getting angry, and I'm feeling like I'm wanting to be mean. I'm feeling like I'm wanting to say some things that I shouldn't say. How many know what I'm talking about? Was anybody this week felt that way? Did you feel like maybe you were about to lose it? Well, this Christian man told me that, and it was a weasel. I started to say a monkey, but it was a weasel on his back. I don't know about you, but I went through the same thing this week as well. Boy, there's been a weasel on my back. And you know what? I wrote back to this man, actually texted him back, and I said, you know what, brother, as I begin to think about it and pray about it, I think about a man by the name of Paul. He wrote the book of Romans, and furthermore, many of the New Testament books after he was gloriously converted on the road to Damascus. And he said this, Paul, a Christian, that I would do, I find myself not doing, and that I don't want to do, I find myself doing it, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? That's found in Romans chapter 7. And I wrote to this man, I said, you know what? If Paul, the great man of God, faced that, certainly we're going to face the ugly flesh, a weasel on our back. And then I said, you know what? I got to think about it some more. How about old Peter? Peter, impetuous Peter. Remember that Peter lied. Well, really, Peter told the Lord Jesus, he said, I will never deny you. And guess what happened? He cursed and swore, said, I never knew him when it came down to it. And yet Peter repented, and Peter was used greatly of the Lord. And I got to thinking about it. If Peter did that, and then I got to thinking about it. I sent this man another message, and I said, you know what? I get to thinking about one of the greatest leaders in Israel. Who was that? His name was Moses. You remember the time when God told him to speak to the rock, but rather than speak to the rock, he struck the rock and grew angry, and consequently, he was not able to go into the promised land. Hey, listen, I would have struck the rock long before Moses would have, amen, or before Moses did. We went to Mount Nebo, by the way, and saw where Moses climbed upon the mountain, not allowed to go into the promised land. I thought about two boys. They were actually brothers. And I wrote to this man who said he had a weasel on his back, not literally, but spiritually. And these two boys, one of them's name was John. One of them's name was James. And you remember in Luke chapter 9, they said to Jesus, Jesus, why don't you just send fire down on this Samaritan city and the Samaritans? And they were called sons of thunder. And I thought, wow, if they said that and yet Jesus turned them into apostles of love, certainly we too will have weasels on our back. My question to you today is, what kind of weasel have you got on your back today? And I've got good news. You don't have to keep that weasel on your back. Now, I know you got a weasel. You can pretend like you don't, but I know there's something there. Maybe you, a father or a mother or a husband or a wife or just a Christian in general, the enemy has been on your back all week. How many has the enemy been on your back all week long? Hello, how many has the enemy been lying to you? Wow, I'll tell you what, there's a weasel on our back. But here's where we're going in the message, getting the weasel off your back. And we're going to two steps to get that weasel off your back. Number one, what kind of weasel do you have on your back? And number two, how can I get that weasel off my back? Turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 8. Do you know what Martin Luther once said? What is the best or the greatest chapter in all the Bible? Let me ask you this. What if you were exiled on an island all by yourself? You were the only person on that island, and you only had one chapter in all the Bible. What would you choose? Somebody said Psalm 23. Somebody said Psalm 46. Somebody said John 14. Martin Luther said Romans chapter 8. Now, as we turn to the book of Romans chapter 8, remember, Paul's writing to a church, a literal church, the church of Rome, comprising and consisting of both Jews and Gentiles. And if we were to summarize chapter 1, 2, and 3, the word would be condemnation. And then if we summarize chapter 4 and 5, the word would be justification. But if we were to summarize chapter 6, 7, and 8, the word would be sanctification. Chapter 9, 10, and 11 of Romans would be election. And then chapter 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16 would be dedication. We're looking at Romans chapter number 8. And remember in chapter 6, the Lord through Paul said there's victory over sin. Remember in chapter 7, there's victory over the law. And then we come to chapter 8, there's victory by the Spirit-filled life. How many want God to fill you up today? Amen. We need the Holy Ghost of God to fill us up, to get this old weasel off our back. Look at with me in the book of Romans, chapter number 8. If you're able to stand, would you stand? I know we've been standing a long time, but we like to do this in the early service. We don't stand quite as much. You don't have to stand, but I love to stand at times to read the wonderful, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And here in Romans chapter 8, look at it with me, please. We're going to read verses 1, just a few verses in chapter 8. In Romans 8, if you're there, say amen. Amen. There is therefore. Now, anytime you see the word there, you need to ask the word, what is there for? There is there. And really, literally, Paul is piggybacking, if you will, on chapter 7. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. Really, you know that old flesh? You know that old weasel is no doubt a picture of the flesh or self. Again, there's no condemnation. Look at verse chapter 8 and verse 1. No condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I love verse 3. What the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Oh, praise God. In the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, condemned. Sin of the flesh. Chapter 8, verse 3 is a great verse. Look at verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, notice, but after the Spirit. Capital S. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, that means fleshly minded. He's talking to Christians here, by the way. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity, and the word enmity means hostility. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. I like verse 9. But ye, he's talking to Christians, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Here's the bottom line, as we're going to see in a moment. We have a battle. There's a battle raging in us. Are you experiencing that these days? Do you feel like there's a weasel on your back? I mean, you know what you ought to do, but for some reason you're not able to do it. You know you should pray, but for some reason you don't. You know you ought to talk to somebody about the Lord, but for some reason you don't. You know you ought to speak kindness and love and all of that, but for some reason there's something in you that just doesn't want to cooperate with the Lord. It's called the ugly flesh or self. Look at verse number 9 again. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you, that is, lives in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness.
But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. I like that word quicken. By his spirit that's come alive and that dwelleth in you. Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors. God says we're debtors. We are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. Note verse 13. It's a great verse. Underline it. For if we live habitually after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify, and the word mortify means put to death. If you mortify, you see, God's made provision for us to live in victory. Somebody say amen. Amen. We don't have to be drugged down by the flesh. We don't have to have the flesh hanging on our back all the time. We don't have to live defeated. We don't have to let the enemy make us depressed and discouraged. Oh, no, no, no. Verse 13 again. If we live in the flesh, we shall die. But if we through the Spirit do mortify, take the flesh to the cross, say, Jesus, crucify my flesh. He's already done it, and it's released by faith as we appropriate the Word of God. But if we through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Oh, verse 15, for you have not the Spirit, you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption. Verse 17, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified, also glorified together. I like verse 18. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Isn't that a good word? I said, isn't that a good word? Oh, yes. Hey, look at verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the Spirit waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Skip down to verse 23 and we'll be done. And not only they, speaking of the earth that waits for this redemption, not only they, but also, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of our body. This is the word of God, and all God's people said, amen. Our Father, I love you now. I praise you for your great love. I bless you, Jesus. It's not about me. It's about you. And Lord, I confess I'm weak, I'm helpless, I'm inadequate. Even as the song said, I need you every moment of every day. And Lord, I know in my flesh dwells no good thing. I pray for the fresh cleansing and the fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit, not only for me, Father, but for every listener. God, give us ears in tune as you speak. Give us hearts willing to respond to the still small voice of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the challenges we've got. We bless you, Jesus, that in you we are more than conquerors. And I pray now that strongholds will be crushed in the name of Jesus. And Father God, that Lord, these weasels, these Lord, demonic influences, Lord, the old ugly flesh would be cast aside. You bring us into freedom. You'll deliver us from the evil one. You'll fill us afresh and anew. You'll empower us, blessed God, to be the men of God, the women of God, the daddies, the mamas, the husbands, the wives, the young people, the students, our Father, that would make a difference and turn this world upside down. We thank you now again for the blood, the cross, the word of God. And we ask now for, again, Lord, your word to fall on good ground. We thank you, Jesus, again for your saving grace. I pray today, Father, there's one here that's searching, dear Lord, that's never come to experience and taste to see that you're good. You sure are good, Lord. You sure have been good to me. I pray, Jesus, you'll be seen, you'll be heard, and that, Lord, our eyes will be turned to heaven. We thank you now for victory. We thank you what you're going to do, making us more like you. We bless you. We love you now and give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Here's where we're going. Two places in the message. Two places in the message. Number one, we're going to the place of what is the weasel that's on your back. Secondly, how to get this weasel off your back. Number one, what is a weasel on your back? And you know what? The Lord showed me there were four weasels that at least, there's a lot more than this, but four that I think we battle with. Number one, there's the weasel of what I call ungrateful. The weasel of ungrateful. You know what, beloved? Instead of being ungrateful, we ought to be grateful. Amen. Has God been good to you?
Has the Lord blessed you? Is there anybody here that would have to admit to say, Lord, you just keep pouring blessings on me. You just keep providing for me. You give me my health. I know everything might not be going like I want it to go. I know that I might not have everything I want to have, but God, you've just been good to me. Lord, you put clothes on my back. You put shoes on my feet. There's food in my refrigerator. There's a roof over my head. Hallelujah, Lord, you've been good to me. You just keep blessing me with provisions. You provide for me. You're my rock and my salvation. God, you've been good to me. I don't know why I'm ungrateful, but Lord, you are good, and I want to praise you today and bless you today and let the world know that my Redeemer liveth. Amen and amen and amen. He lives. He lives. He lives. He lives. Oh yeah. You see, I double dare you to praise the Lord. I said, I double dare you to praise the Lord. Hey, listen, we've been silent long enough. If God's been good to you, he wants us to tell him, Lord, you've been good. You've blessed me beyond measure. You know what? Over there in Psalm 116 and verse number 12, David said this, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits? How many know that God's benefits are out of this world? Oh, they're better than any job you'll ever get. God's benefits. Matter of fact, over there in Psalm 103, the Bible says, he daily, Psalm chapter 68 and verse 19, he daily loads us with benefits. Hey, listen to child of God. We've been ungrateful long enough. This is that dirty old weasel that's been on our back. And God wants us to say, Lord, you've been good to me. You blessed me beyond measure. How many today would say, God, you've been better to me than I deserve? You've been better to me, Lord, than I deserve. What should I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits? Psalm 103 says, I will bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Forget not all of his benefits. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies thy mouth with good things so thy youth is renewed like the eagles? Oh God, you've been good. By the way, I know you got troubles today. How many got troubles? Let me see your hand. Well, I know you got troubles. I know you got problems. But wait a minute. I know you're going through tests. I know you're going through trials. I know your job may not be everything you want it to be. I understand the children might not be responding to you like you want them to respond. I understand that you may not have everything in the bank you want to have. But in spite of all of that, in spite of our troubles, in spite of all of our difficulties and our troubles and trials, God's benefits, God's goodness, the blessings of God far outweigh our troubles. Somebody say, glory to God. They do. They do. They do. Oh, I know we take our health for granted. I know we take our family for granted. I know we take our church family for granted. But you just need to just say, Lord, I bless you, Lord, today. Get that weasel off my back. I don't care if anybody else praises you. It doesn't matter to me, Lord, if anybody else raises their hand. I don't care if anybody else says amen. Lord, it really doesn't matter to me if anybody else comes to the altar. I want you to know I love you. I praise you. And it's not about me. And it's not about what people think about me. It's about you, Lord. Woo! Glory, glory, glory. Well, time to get the weasel off our back. There's a second weasel that climbs on our back, and we need to get him off. You know what it is? It's the weasel of anger. Instead of being angry, Matt suggests we need to be forgiven. Come on, somebody say amen. You know what? This weasel climbs up on our back. Is there anybody here that's been angry? Have you been mad? Oh, it's so easy to get angry. It's so easy to get mad. I believe a lot of us here, you just let the devil push the right buttons and you will see how ugly that flesh is. That old weasel will get on your back. Right now, you might not be angry. Right now, you might not be upset. But you let that devil push them right buttons, all of a sudden, that old ugly flesh will emerge. How many know what I'm talking about? Lord, I don't want to be angry. I want to be forgiven. Paul wrote in the book of Ephesians 4 and 26, he said to be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And you see, that this is the challenge we've got. I've got this old weasel in my back. There's some things that have happened to me. There's some people and things that are going on in my life. And it just makes me frustrated. It makes me angry. It makes me not want to forgive when things happen to me. But I know Paul, the apostle, said in Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Can I tell you what happened to me this week? I was up there at the hospital up in Atlanta, Georgia, at the Northside Hospital. One of our ladies was having surgery on Wednesday. And I was talking with a conversation with this group of people, and one dear lady jumped in and chimed in the conversation. Here's what she said. She said, I am in my 50s, Pastor, right now, but I'm still mad. She said, I'm depressed. I'm down. I don't want to get out. I don't want to do anything. And then I said, well, why? Just investigating become the situation. She said, because some things happened to me when I was going through my teenage years. And then she began to tell me experiences with her earthly father and began to tell me things that had happened. And then she said, I am still depressed today. Well, I've got news for you. As I shared with her, I don't understand it all, but I believe there's somebody you today that's here today, that God brought you here today. There's that suppressed anger. There's that anger that you just need to let it out. You just need to let it go. After all, has God forgiven you? If you've been forgiven, I want you to know, whatever somebody else does to us does not compare to our own sins to God. Hey, listen, how many of you have been forgiven by the blood of the Lamb? Can I tell you what I read last week? I read last week where they are actually finding a robotic submarine, and guess what they're fixing to do? We're told they're going to plummet this submarine in the depths of the deepest sea. Well, where's the deepest sea? Ah, glad you asked. We're told that off the island of Guam, how many know where Guam's at? We landed in Guam a few years ago, Brother Jimmy. We landed there going to the Philippines. But wait a minute, back to the account, the story of this robotic submarine. It is scheduled to plummet into the very deepest sea. We're told it's the deepest sea. One of our men in the early service told me, John Bassett, he's a blessing, 90 years old, fixing to be 91. He was in the Navy. He said, Pastor, I believe the deepest part of the sea is 7 miles deep. How many know 7 miles is a long way to go? And according to the account I read, it said that the pressure is so intense at 7 miles, it requires some robot to go down the deepest sea. But wait a minute. I said, wait a minute. I know what they'll find when they get to the deepest sea. I know what's down in the deepest sea. Well, what do you mean, Pastor? What do you think's down in the deepest sea? I'll tell you what's in the deepest sea. My sins are at the deepest sea. Your sins are at the deepest sea. How do I know that? Because in Micah chapter 7 and verse 19, God says he puts our sin in the depth of the sea. He doesn't remember it anymore. I'm telling you, the power of the blood of Jesus, nothing else can take away our sin, but the blood of Jesus can take away our sin. Oh, I'm glad there's still power in the blood for you today. You can get that weasel off your back, that weasel of guilt, that weasel of condemnation, that weasel of sin, and say, God, put my sins in the depths of the sea behind your back as far as the east is from the west, and remember them no more. I'm glad, hallelujah, my God doesn't remember our sin anymore. Somebody ought to say glory. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. Now y'all look at me like y'all had never done anything wrong. Hello. You know. Oh, listen. Let that anger go and release that forgiveness in the hands of God. You know what? Thirdly, there's a third weasel that I think climbs on our back. What kind of weasel have you got on your back today? It might be something we're not even mentioning. Here's the third weasel that came to my mind. Number one. In weasel number three, and it's the blame game. The blame game. Instead of confession and for cleansing and forgiveness, how many know that we live in a society, yea, a culture, that easily wants to put the blame on everybody else? Is there anybody here that says, oh, but if our government would get right and the administration and all of that stuff, I believe I wouldn't be like I am. No, no. We've got to assume this responsibility. We have got to take what God says. Matter of fact, I go over there to the third chapter of the book of Genesis. Wait a minute. God made a man in his image. What was his name? Adam. Adam was taken from him a rib. The word Sela is rib, which means he gave him a helper, a completer. What was her name? Eve. Let's say it together. Eve. Adam. And then God said to Adam, if you do anything in the garden, but do not eat of the tree of knowledge of both good and evil, in the day you eat it, you will surely die. Hey, Eve messed up. First, there's the dialogue. She started dialoguing with the devil. That's where she messed up. How many know what I'm talking about? That old weasel got in, that old serpent, that weasel disguised like a serpent of the garden. And Eve began to dialogue with the devil. Watch this. That dialogue turned into doubt, delusion, and deception, and death. But oh, thank God, finally deliverance. That dirty devil, he said to Eve, hath God really said? And I know the devil's telling you today, well, you might have a weasel on your back, but you're not that bad. And after all, compare yourself with everybody around you. And after all, you're in a church today. And after all, you do this and you do that. Well, that devil, he's a deceiver. Hath God really said? And then the next thing you know, he turned that thing around. And that serpent said to Eve, well, God really knows, when you eat the fruit, you'll be just like him. Isn't that what the devil's doing today with the New Age movement and all this stuff? You'll be like God. Well, the next thing you know, that devil, he deceived, and deception, delusion, and next thing you know, happened death. She saw the fruit was good to eat. That weasel deceived her, and she took the fruit thereof, and death entered into the world. Not only physical death, which would happen eventually, but spiritual death, which happened initially, momentarily. At that very moment, well, what happened then? She gave her husband a part of that fruit. He did eat it too. I said that to say this. God shows up. How many know that God knows everything? Come on, talk to me. His eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth. And you know what God said? Adam, where are you? God knew where he was at. We can't hide from God, can we? No, absolutely not. Where are you, Adam? And Adam tried to hide with fig leaves. And then you know what Adam did? The woman you gave me. Blame it on the woman you gave me. How many of us are just the same way? Blame it on the woman. And then you know what the woman did? What have you done? The serpent. The serpent. He tricked me. Blame it on the serpent. Somebody said the serpent didn't have a leg to stand on, all right? He had nobody to blame. But wait a minute. The blame game. Tell me. Are you using that as an excuse? Well, it's just the way I was born, the way I was raised, and things that happened in my life. I know we can't happen things in our life, but we can help our response to them. That's what is ultimately the bottom line. We're responsible to God. We are accountable to the Lord. Hey, get that weasel off your back. Stop excusing. Stop blaming on everybody else and say, Lord, I am in need. Hey, watch this. Write this verse down. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess, notice, if we confess. Let me say it again. If we confess. Let's say it together. If we confess. One more time. If we, notice that's conditional. You don't have to. I don't have to. If is a conditional clause. If we confess, the word confess is the word homologamon. It means to say the same thing as God. If we confess, admit, acknowledge, if we confess our sins, plural, not singular, plural, singular, not singular, but rather plural. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, hallelujah, to forgive us our sins. That means send them away and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So rather than blame people, we've just got to acknowledge and say, God, it's me standing in the need of prayer. Lord, get this weasel off my back. How many mamas and daddies need to just get the weasel off the back? How many young people say, man, I'm living in a culture and the way things are happening in my school, I just can't handle it anymore. Hey, look, this weasel needs to come off your back. Amen. Hey, there's another weasel, and that is not only this matter of the blame game, but number four, the weasel, what I call trouble instead of peace. Trouble instead of peace. Will you be honest with me today? How many of you are troubled? You don't have to raise your hand. How many are troubled today? How many have been troubled this week? How many things, bills keep rolling in the mail? You don't know how you're going to pay your bills. You don't know how you're going to get out of debt. You don't know about that teenage girl. You don't know about them children. You don't know about that son. You don't know about that daughter. You don't know about your family. You don't know about the future. Matter of fact, you don't know what's going to happen to America. And it's causing trouble. Can I tell you? Get that weasel off your back today. We don't have to be troubled, hallelujah. We can have peace with God. Matter of fact, over there in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I love John chapter 14 and verse 1. In the context of John 14, Jesus is talking about in the Passion Week, not leaving the disciples alone, but rather giving them the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit would be with them, in them, and upon them. Listen to what he said. Listen to what he said. John 14, 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Heart trouble. Paul wrote, you know it, Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. That Philippian jail, chained to Praetorian guard. Yet he said, be careful. Don't be full of care. Hey, worry. You know, careful, full of care. Don't be careful about anything, but rather by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving that your request has been known to God. And then what? The peace of God. How many know your money can't buy the peace of God? The world can't give the peace of God. And thank God the devil can't really take the peace of God away from us. We don't have to have that weasel on our back, but God's peace ruling in our heart, as Colossians 3:15 says. Matter of fact, Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 and 4, Isaiah said this, in the context speaking of Israel. He said, will thou not keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee? Trust in the Lord, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Peace, tell me. Do you have peace today? Tell me. Have you been at peace this week? Tell me. Are you in turmoil? Tell me. Are your relationships strained? Tell me. When you go home, do you have to take Maalox? And are you troubled? Are you nervous? Can you deal and cope with your situation without turning to mind-altering things? Oh, God, give us your peace. God, give us your peace in a troubled world. Speaking of that, I heard about a man that went to the doctor. And the doctor put him in ICU. He had heart trouble. And the doctor said to the man, said, I want you to take these pills one day. I want you to skip a day, take the pills the next day. The doctor showed up in the ICU room, and the man's out in the hall. What's he doing? And the doctor said, what are you doing? I told you to take these pills, and you got a heart condition. What are you doing? The man says, Doc, you told me to take the pills one day and skip the next day. You'll get it on the way home, all right? Hey, look, you don't have to be in trouble. You can be at peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. You hear about the lady that went to the doctor and he said, ma'am, you are in bad shape. You've got to start exercising immediately. And so she said, all right, I'll join an aerobics class. I'll join an exercise class. And so she went to this exercise class. She said, I jumped up and down. I bent over. I rolled on the floor. I sweated. I did calisthenics. And she said, finally, after an hour, I got my leotards on and the class was over. Anyway, hey, peace. Do you have God's peace? May I say this as we come to the second part of the message? How can I get this weasel off my back? First, what is the weasel? What kind of weasel is on your back today? You know, and God knows, and you don't have to leave with that weasel on your back. Well, the second part of the message is this. How can I get that weasel off my back? I'm glad you asked, because there are four truths that transform. Four truths that transform. We'll be brief. Number one, the first truth is this. Remember, beloved, remember what Jesus said. Remember what we have in Jesus. Remember what we have in Him, number one. Number two, remember not only what we have in Him, but remember who we are in Him. Oh, bless the Lord. And then number three, remember where we're going, beloved, in because of Jesus. And then number four, and finally, remember, how can I get other people to this Jesus, all right? Romans chapter 8, number one, remember what we have in Jesus. And can I tell you today, you know what we have in Jesus? I'm telling you, we've got a God that can do great exploits. How many believe that? We've got a God that can do great exploits. Remember the book of Daniel? Remember Daniel 1? Daniel came under authority. Remember Daniel chapter 1? Daniel lived above moral impurity. Remember Daniel, the book of Daniel? He lived a life of humility. Remember Daniel chapter 5? He understood God's sovereignty. Remember Daniel 6? He faced the lions in adversity. Remember Daniel 7? Daniel got the victory. But wait a minute, I'm leading up to something. Remember Daniel 11? In Daniel 11, there's five personalities. One of those personalities is Antiochus Epiphanes. Let's say it together. Antiochus Epiphanes. Say it again. And literally what this is saying is during the interlinear Bible time, after the Old Testament closes and the New Testament begins, briefly, there was a man by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes. He defiled the temple, and there was a group of Jews, namely called the Maccabees, and they stood up and fought against Antiochus Epiphanes, drove him out of town after defiling the temple, and today they still celebrate this called Hanukkah, where the menorah burned supernaturally. All they had was oil enough for a day, but God supernaturally extended the oil. Today, to this day, the Jews still celebrate Hanukkah. It's in December, by the way, not the Feast of Purim, in which they celebrated last Friday, but rather Hanukkah. All right, I said that to say this. In Daniel chapter 11, there are these men during this time, historically speaking, that did great exploits. That means notable feats. How many believe that we can get the weasel off our back and say, God, I know I'm not much. I know I can't do anything of myself. But God, I know with you and by you and through you, I can do great exploits. I don't know about anybody here, but I want to do great exploits for God. How many want to do exploits for God? Just one or two? How many else? Two? Three or four? All right, come on, folks. I believe you want to be everything God wants you to be. Don't you listen to the lies of that devil and say, weasel, get off my back. Number one, who we are in Jesus. What we have in Jesus. Great exploits. Hey, look, John chapter 14, verse 12. You know what Jesus said? He said, greater things should you do than these because I go to the Father. How in the world did he say that? What did he mean? He's talking about the Holy Spirit, giving the Holy Spirit. Number three, you know what Jesus said? He said, I love it. Write this verse down. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3. This is in the restoration of Israel, by the way. The first 40 chapters in regards to Israel, the last, much like a mini Bible, 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah 61, 3, God says, I'll turn your ashes into beauty. Is there anybody here that's gone through some kind of trial or some kind of test? God says, I'll turn your ashes into beauty. I'll turn your mourning into joy. I'll turn your garments of heaviness into garments of praise. I'm telling you, God's able to do it. I wish there was somebody here that was going through some troubles and trials that God is blessing you and God's carrying you through. I wish there was somebody here that could testify and say, had it not have been for the Lord, I'd have been sunk long ago. I wish somebody here would identify and say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Is there anybody in the house of God that God's turned your ashes into beauty? He's turned your mourning into joy. He's turned your garments of heaviness into garments of praise. Is there anybody here that's facing hardship, that's facing trouble, that's facing trials, but in the midst of it all, you're going to say, weasel, get off my back. I'm going to praise God anyway. Woo! I'm going to praise God anyway. And so, what we have in Jesus. Secondly, who we are in Jesus. If you notice the text, we are sons of God, adopting the family. And Paul writes and says, we cry, Abba, Father. You do know Abba is an Aramaic term. And you do know, by the way, I was over there on Friday night, over in a restaurant, and one of our men here today had his little boy with him. I said to them as I got close to him, I said, has he learned to say dada? Has he learned to say dada? You know what? That's usually one of the first words besides mama, of course. Mama, dada. Yeah, he knows how to say dada. He's not even a year old. You know what? In the Aramaic world, you know what the little boys would say? Abba, Abba. That's what Paul is saying here. Abba, Papa, Father. Is there anybody here today that you say, man, I did not have a good earthly role as a daddy, but my Father in heaven, he's my heavenly Father, and I'm his son, and I'm his daughter, and thank God I'm accepted and beloved. In him I live and move and have my being. Oh, when your father and mother forsake you, the Lord will take you up. Amen. And glory be to his name. I know that connected with somebody. Well, not only who we are in him, but guess what? Where we're going. Where we're going. How many know you're going to heaven? Let me see your hand. Get this weasel off of my back. Why? Because how can I get that weasel off my back? Number one, because of what? Jesus. What we have in Jesus. Secondly, who he is in us. Oh, I wish I had time to talk a little bit about that. Number three, where we're going. I don't know about you, but I'm going to glory land. I don't know about you, but heaven's going to be a beautiful place. I don't know about you, but one of these days, we're going to lay aside all of our heavy burdens and we're going to get to glory. I don't know about you, but I'm going to enjoy praising the Lord throughout all eternity. I don't know about you, but I know this. One of these days, this whole earthly body that's racked with pain, racked with trouble, sick. One of these days, we're going to lay aside this earthly robe of clay and take on a glorified body like the Lord. Oh, yes, we are. Where you going? I'm telling you, this old weasel's got to get off our back. I'm marching to Zion. I'm going to a city whose builder and maker is God. The city that lies four square. Hallelujah. I'm talking about a city that the eye cannot even imagine. But Revelation chapter 21 and 22 says the streets are like transparent glass. And the walls are more colorful than the color of a beautiful rainbow. Can you imagine, beloved? The street and the walls and the gate full of pearls. And listen, brother, out of the throne of God flows a river of life. Where there is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. I'm going to a city whose builder and maker is God, a city that lies foursquare. I want you to know, child of God, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Oh, Brother Bill Bailey, I miss Brother Bill. How many miss Brother Bill? Anybody? Oh, Brother Bill Bailey, you know what his favorite song was? How Beautiful Heaven Must Be. It's a favorite song. We gather around his bedside on December the 28th, singing how beautiful heaven must be. Singing, will the circle be unbroken? You know that song? By and by, Lord, by and by, there's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in that sky. Or will the circle be unbroken? By and by, Lord, by and by, there's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. I want you to know, will the circle be unbroken? By and by, there's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. I'll tell you what happened. I believe old Brother Bill Bailey, when he got to glory, he stepped out of this old world and stepped into that glory land. And Brother Bill said, it's beautiful, more beautiful than I ever dreamed. How beautiful heaven must be. And I believe old Brother Bill, you know Brother Bill, he said, I'm reporting for duty, sir. I'm reporting for duty. I believe old Brother Bill looked around and said, you know what, Brother Mike, I think you could use a little work right here on this mansion over here. I don't know about that, but I know this, when we get to glory, it's going to be worth it all serving the Lord. Let's bless the Lord. Isn't God good? Hallelujah. I wonder if you stand to your feet today.